body and the mind react to what you feed it in a metaphorical sense. So if you're feeding it like resistance, stop, holding on tight, the body can never relax fully. But if you feed it, relax, like, it's cool. I know you've had a tough day. You may be having, you know, really down, in a really bad place at the minute, but I'm just gonna allow myself to just be in this moment.
Ever since I was a little girl, I suffered with headaches, heart palpitations, butterflies in my stomach, aches and pains all over the body. Many symptoms that I did not know until very recently all fell under the same umbrella. All fell under anxiety. And throughout my life, I have tried to hide it, mask it, and I've also tried to treat it. But my explorer-adventurer personality did not help very much. My living on the edge personality did not make my suffering any easier. And if that was not enough, what do I go and do? I choose a career path presenting highly sensitive market moving news in real time, live on national TV every single day. The first day I went live on air after an 11-year hiatus from that stressful job, the first day I went back to that job was the day I took my first Xanax. The studio lights and the nervous system battered by years and years of untreated stress and anxiety, combined with reduced estrogen levels at this point in my life, got the better of me. So for the last 3 years, I have been actively looking for solutions and ways to manage my stress and anxiety, from TM to ice plunges to way too many Brené Brown talks. I have done it all. Until one day, outside an MRI suite in a hospital, I quickly developed an allergic reaction to an injection I was given, which simulated an anxiety attack in my body. I instinctively breathed through it and managed to reduce my heart rate and bring my blood pressure down from a systolic 175 to about 120 in a space of a few minutes only. That impressed the nurses and it impressed me. I wanted to learn more, so when I went home, I got on Spotify looking for podcasts on breathwork. And I found my next guest, Josh Trevorrow, the man behind Pervida and the Pervida Wellness Experience podcast. Hi, Josh.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
Josh, let me just introduce you very quickly. Josh spent 8 years as a dedicated health and wellness coach in London. Last year, he harnessed that expertise, merged it with many learnings, mistakes, and hands-on experiences, and founded Pervida in 2022. And thank you so much for doing that. I found many, many, many moments of comfort listening to your podcast, Josh. Thank you so much.
Great. Thank you very much for listening. Pleasure.
So, Josh, never have I ever thought that the answer to all symptoms of anxiety, that the answer to irritability, that the answer to tiredness, and in fact, finding more energy within myself was so simple and so accessible. That breathing is so effective is just amazing. Tell me why that is. Tell me what is happening in my body when I am following your instructions to breathe for 9 or 11 or 20 minutes on the podcast.
Cool. Straight in with a good question. I love it. Many things are happening. And I think to maybe start with a very simple thing. What breathing does, it makes people more present, because you find a lot of people now, most hours of the day, they're either, you know, consumed with work stress, consumed with maybe fear of the future, ruminating on the past. So the brain is really never in the state of, one, equanimity, but two, that state of present. And I know the word's thrown out a lot, but people find it super hard to just bring it back to the next 5 seconds. And what I found with breathing is it becomes easier for people to do that. Meditation, amazing. It's a form of meditation, but people struggle to focus, to just stay within that moment for, like I said, 5 seconds. So what I found was breathing is a mechanism to do that very quickly, because now they have a focus as opposed to focusing on just nothingness. So one, breathing brings people back to, one, their body, and then two, the present moment. Breathing, there's many, many forms of breathing, and each facet of breathing will provide a different outcome. So if someone wants a bit of energy, you can speed the heart rate up. So the simple way I describe breathing and what happens to the body and the brain is when we inhale, the heart will send a signal to the brain, and this happens within like mini seconds. We don't even register it. So the heart will send a signal to the brain. Brain registers that. It says, oh, the heart's just inhaled. So the brain says, oh, I'll send a signal back down and tell the heart rate to speed up. And then when we exhale, once again, the heart will send a signal to the brain. Brain says, oh, great, I've received that, you're exhaling. I'm going to send a signal back down and tell the heart rate to slow down. And this is an ebb and flow throughout the day. You and I are doing that right now. Everyone listening doing that right now. Inhaling, exhaling. So what breathing is, you just consciously adapt that basic knowledge of breath work, of breathing. It's called heart rate variability. And then you compose different breathing exercises. So if you want to reduce someone's anxiety and stress, you prolong the exhale. If you maybe want a bit more energy, I know you did a fun breath work the other day and it was a bit more fast paced. And then you work with different modalities which provided an outcome: stress, anxiety, uncertainty, etc.
So they say, I mean, we're supposed to know, the one thing that we do not need to learn is we do not need to learn how to breathe. We breathe to live. We breathe to continue to live. But we need to learn to breathe so that we live better. Isn't that right? So how difficult is it to learn how to breathe for better functioning?
Good question. Yeah, it's I guess it's not taught, or it's not really a fundamental of like teaching children it, because like you just said, it's just everyone wakes up and breathes, right? The moment we're born to the moment we die. So people don't really think about it. But now it's obviously coming about, and breathing is just, it's thousands of years old. People have been doing it for many, many years.
Since there was people. It's getting more...
Yeah, exactly. Literally.
Yeah.
So to get people into it at a very base level is, you can do a few things, but the first thing I tell people, if you're like completely new, is just, is self-awareness. Like, what does your breathing look? Are you shallow chest breathing?
Yeah.
Are you breathing through the mouth? Are you breathing through the nose? Because once you have self-awareness, then you can begin to make a change. Because if you're not aware, you can't really change anything.
Say training is also involved, because you need to train that muscle. You need to train the diaphragm to help you breathe.
Mm-hmm.
So what if I have a weak diaphragm?
Just train it. Practice. It's like going to the gym. If you have weak legs, you'd want to do some squats or lunges or some glute bridges, get out running, run around hills. The diaphragm needs to be moved and trained and exercised for it to work, essentially. But because of stress and habitual dynamics from everyday life, we've lost the diaphragm function and slouched over our desks and shallow breathing. So just practice like in the day, sitting down, belly breathing. It's the simplest start, for sure.
So in a breathing session, you are basically doing nasal breathing or mouth breathing. You're holding the breath. You're holding the breath on an exhale. You're holding the breath on an inhale. And all these things put together, how do you mix them up to get a result? I know that on your podcast, you do different sessions, a sleeping session or an energizing breathing session, a walking meditation, a sleeping meditation. So how do you mix them up to get a result? And what does each one do?
So coming back to like what I was saying, I'll have an idea of, what people may be looking for. Most likely poor night's sleep, anxiety, people not walking as much in the day. So I'll really focus on those, the facets which I think would help people the most. And then using the knowledge of the heart rate variability, I will, if it's stress, I will get them to do more holding on the exhales. When you hold on the exhale, you're training the body to withstand CO2 better. Huh. And when you're in that mindset of holding the breath under control, not just like forcing it, when you're doing breathing and then you're holding on the exhale, the brain has to focus. I mean, of course it can wander, but the brain has to focus back into, okay, I'm holding my breath here. If I don't focus, I can pass out or die. Mm. So, you know, working with stress, I'll focus on exhale holds. Working with sleep, I'll do it much slower. So it'll be like more drawn breaths through the nose. I'll avoid mouth breathing, further the exhale, get people to focus on things. I do a lot of sleep stories as well, where the brain can narrow in to the description that I'm saying. And then if it's high energy, it'll be more fast pace, getting the heart rate, getting more blood pumping, holding on the inhale where you feel a bit more oxygen in the brain, maybe feel a bit more alive. So, and then, yeah, there's many other ones that you could go into, and hyperventilated breathing and et cetera, et cetera.
Honestly, I was just stunned at my ability to hold my breath after taking a couple of, you know, good deep breaths, that I could hold my breath for a good 2 minutes, 2 minutes or more.
That's great. That's
cool. How? So my question is it control or is it relinquishing control? Do you need to just let the body do what it can do? Or, I mean, do you need to just stop stressing about forcing your body in a certain direction? Or is it that you need to guide your body to do something?
In terms of like the exhale holds?
In terms of holding the breath for that long.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, to kind of answer your first question, because you can hold it that long, you're kind of oxygenating the system. So you're getting more oxygen in there. You're changing the gas ratio between oxygen and carbon dioxide. And the more you exhale, you're flooding CO2 out of the body. So when you come to the hold, you can withstand more because CO2 has been expelled. So you can relax a bit easier. Mm. You don't have that urgency to breathe. So the urgency to breathe is CO2 building up. So the CO2 will register to the brain, you need to breathe, you need to breathe. But because you're doing the, you're getting to a state of not needing that CO2 too much because you've already expelled it from the body. Mm. And thus, it's a great place to then relax. I think coming back to the other question is just don't force it. I think you mentioned guiding or doing what the body is capable of doing. And you kind of nailed it on the head. When you do this, the body is doing what it's designed to do. But because we, you know, like I said, stressed, anxious, we find it very hard to not just hold our breath, but relax into these positions. So just, let your body and breath guide you. And see how you feel. You might be able to hold 5 seconds. Perfect. That's great. We tend to be in a war with ourselves. Oh, someone's holding like 30 seconds longer. Skip that part. This is about you. If you can hold 5 seconds, amazing. Next session, hold for 7 seconds. So just guide you. Let it be flexible with it. Enjoy the process of it, and never force it.
Before trying breathing, breathwork sessions, I of course learned to do TM, Transcendental Meditation, and like you said, I found that very difficult, and to stay in the zone for longer than a couple of seconds was very, very difficult. I also tried, cold plunges, and before every cold plunge, we would do some Wim Hof style breathing, and I found the first session, my first experience with that was the instructor or the person guiding that session came up to me and said, I didn't expect that you would be able to do this because you're so highly strung. and you know, I'm a sort of a control freak. I want to be in control all the time. So the fact that was the reason behind my questions, that isn't it true that, you know, the more you let go, the better the result? Or... do you not agree?
Mm. No one's asked me that. So I think, yeah, naturally, the more you let go of resistance, there is a greater relaxation outcome. So if you, you know, you're taking, if you're, you know, wanting to, like you said, control everything and I'm not going to do this, I'm not in control, then the body reacts, right? Then you get stiffer, you get you get caught up in the monkey mind takes over of like, actually get out of the cold, stop the breath work. But if you, you know, tap into that, the subconscious essentially, where you're just like letting it be free, then the body reacts to what you're giving it, right? The body the body and the mind react to what you feed it in a metaphorical sense. Right. So if you're feeding it like resistance, stop, holding on tight, the body can never relax fully. But if you feed it, relax, like it's cool. I know you've had a tough day. You may be having, you know, really down in a really bad place at the minute, but I'm just going to allow myself to just be in this moment and the body can relax a bit better. So yeah, that's a great question. I would agree that the more you let go, the better the outcome.
So how much discomfort would you say was in it? I mean, for the uninitiated, someone who has not tried it before, someone who's tried, like, for example, the ice plunges, they're so uncomfortable to get into. And, you know, even sitting in meditation, I had a colleague the other day and she was telling me that she meditates, but then most days she sits down to meditate and the monkey mind will not stop. And then she just has to get so frustrated and irritated that she has to, you know, get up and walk away from her meditation. And that's why I love breath work, actually, because it takes me in the opposite direction of that. So how do you explain it to somebody who has not tried it? How do you convince them that what level of discomfort would you say was there?
Yeah. So, yeah, convincing people to try it is hard, but like I always say, try it. You've got nothing to lose. And what I hopefully provide on my, you know, the Spotify and my platform is an area for people to have some trust there. Like, okay, well, I'm going to trust this guy to do it and I'll see what happens. And if you try it and you see the benefits straight away, or just you have an experience of some calm, some equanimity, your brain switches off, then you're more likely to tap back into it. As opposed to starting people off and just saying, relax your mind and don't think of anything. People like you, you're like your friend, they get very frustrated, they can't focus, they give up. So breathing is, I've kind of forgot your question, but I'm going to see where I wrap it back.
Okay,
right.
Just breathe, it'll come back to you.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Do my own breath. Treat breathing as what I call like a mechanical meditation, because you're doing as well as doing nothing. What the breathing will do is bring you into a good state of meditation. So I don't know if you found on a lot of them or some of them, I've done so many now I've lost count, but on a few of them, I'll tell you to just be still for 2 minutes. Boom. And then people can relax a bit easier after the breathing. So if you're new, you've never done it before, struggle switching off, try a breath work, do 1 to 2 minutes, focus on the breathing, and then try and meditate for another 1 to 2 minutes. But it's a stimulus as well. It's like going to the gym. If I asked you, okay, Sibba, you've never been to the gym, I want you to do all of this today, where would your brain go? What would your body do? It would most likely freeze up and think, no idea. Like, okay, I'll do this, I'll do this. Maybe get injured, maybe become very nervous. The breath, the mind is the same. It's a muscle. So 1 minute, start, you know, without sounding too cliche, start small, incremental. A year later, you'll be doing 15 minutes easy. So small.
So what's in it for you? Why are you doing this? I mean, doing these podcasts is a lot of work. It really is. And I can see, and I can tell the amount of work that you put into it. And not one is same as the other. So why are you doing it?
It's a good question. I still haven't found out my why, to be honest. Like, you know, people say, what's your why? I think it's a really hard question. And I honestly don't think people people may know on surface level what their why is. You know, I want to, you know, I want to do this, this and this, but I'm not too sure. It's funny, but I do, I think because I've worked with people for most of my life and there's an attraction there to helping someone get out from a dark place to a good place. So I think the why is to do is helping people. And I think seeing people become different through the experience that I'm providing. So they might be in a really low place and my motivation is to get them out of that, potentially the bad place, the anxiety, the going through a really bad breakup, going through a divorce, maybe lost someone. And if I can provide a bit of light for people, you know, I might not want to do something one day and I don't want to record. So I have to take my mind to the place of, well, if you could help one person today get out of that bad place, then that's my level of motivation. But it's a great question because I'm still figuring out what the deep why is.
Yeah.
But to do is helping people.
But you're doing it online, mainly. How do you get the gratification? Where do you get the gratification? Where do you know? Or do you wait for it? Do you even wait for that gratification? Or do you just put it out and know that, or hope that it will, you know, come back somehow?
Yeah, again, great question. I think, yeah, the gratification can be hard because you might deliver a session and then a year later someone might get hold of you. So the gratification is people like you, Sibo, you know, you reached out and you tried it and it helped. And that's becoming more frequent, like weekly, daily, that people are doing that. So I think the work that I put in a year and a half ago is coming to fruition, essentially, that it's reaching more people. It's a trust, right? Most things we do in life is having trust and faith in something that it will come back to us in a good way.
Nice. I mean, this really falls under this big, I don't want to call it craze because it's a very good thing. People wanting to get well and people wanting to be healthy and people wanting to work out more and be outdoors more and breathe more and more cold and all that. So two questions come to mind. How does one know what's good, what's not in reference to content that's out there to help people get well, even better? And then the question after that, and you won't get out of either because I need you to answer both of them, is who is listening to you? Who's watching your podcast? Who's doing those exercises to get well and get better demographically? Younger audiences, older audiences, women, men?
Yeah. The first question, remind me the first question.
Now I forgot. The first question is, how do you know what's good, what's not, that's out there?
That's it. How do I know what's good or not? But people delving into it, from my eyes, like because I've had experience with people, I can see whether someone is delivering it for the sake of it, without like a lot of things we do has an intent, right? So if your intent is for views and tapping into the algorithm, and then you have a sales pitch behind every podcast or something there, people don't like your intent there isn't to help the person behind the screen. So I think if you tap into one and it's a good question how to perceive that. But I think if someone is trying to sell you something every episode, there's nothing wrong with selling, but as long as they're providing you with like a practice that you can use straight away, as opposed to maybe they might be, well, I'm going to give you 2 minutes and then to get the other 20, you've got to follow this link.
There's so much of that, isn't there? There was way too much of that on podcasts these days.
Yeah, for sure. Like I said, it's having both, but I think people, you want to, from my view anyway, you want to You want people to experience it to the best possible way before they, you know, for them to actually take something away, because the intent behind any creator should be to help the person behind the screen, as opposed to most people. Well, I say most people, I can't generalize, but a lot of people produce for the sake of, will this go viral? Will I, how do I look in this? You know, will I make people jealous? Will I look good? Take it back. Like, who are you trying to help? So first question you've got to ask is, okay, is this person trying to help me? And if the answer is yes, then it's going to be a good creator. And then the other,
and then we want I would like to really know whether it is younger listeners, younger audiences, or older audiences that are catching on to these, I would call them tools to help themselves live better, live well.
Yeah, good question. I forgot that question. Maybe I needed more caffeine before. Yeah, so the for the podcast, it's actually really mixed. It's really mixed. I have people as young as like 20 doing it, and I have people in 60s doing it. But if I was to use an age range, it would probably be the most around 30 to 55, from what the analytics say. And probably a lot more women than men. The men do reach out as well, but the most people who view it tend to be women. I get a lot of people who have never done it before, and they've searched it and they've come up with mine, and then they do it for the first time and they experience something good. And that's what I want. Yeah. That's what I want.
But that's your online work, but also in the real world, you're promoting movement, mind, and nutrition. And so how do you mix all these in your one-on-one sessions?
Yeah, so in London, let's just give a background. Like, when I first started out in London, coaching is very much training. Most people wanted to get stronger, put on weight. Most people wanted to lose weight. So a lot of that is around reduce your calories, increase your walking, up your training with me, etc. So it's very much the movement when I first started. And then what I noticed over the years, that because someone wants to lose weight, that isn't their main, that's not their main motive. And when you tap into it, and they may want to lose weight because they had a breakup 2 years ago and they want to feel some stability in their life again. Mm-hmm. So movement's just one facet of health. And what I'd realize, if I now tap into stress management tools, anxiety exercises, now you're working with people's mental fitness as well as physical fitness. And then, as you know, like, what we feed ourselves, what food we nourish ourselves with, has an impact on how our mind thinks, how our body moves, how tired we are. It's a reciprocal relationship between the three. You can't isolate one thing. So in the breathing, I'll tell people, you know, get to the gym as well, train your body, get strong, eat as much nutrient-dense food as possible, but, you know, still enjoy life. We have to combine the three for the human to be healthy. So with my one-to-ones in London, it was very much the last 2 years helping people focus on each of those facets. And I still do the same. I only do a select few one-to-ones at the minute, but it's still the same. Incrementally helping each of these areas, depending on the person where they're at, improving every single day, every week, every month, every year. And that's the way the human body can get healthy as best as it can.
Yeah. You know what I'm going to ask you? I want my own breathing session.
Let's do it. So if I was to ask you one question, what would you like to get out of it?
Energy. Oh, that's a tough one. I should have said relaxation, shouldn't I?
I don't want you to be too relaxed with this one.
Not too.
Okay, cool.
Okay, let's do it.
Should we set a 2 minute timer?
2 minutes. Ah, let me sit back. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Cool. And yeah, the listeners, the viewers as well, this is a good chance to try it if you've never done it before.
Absolutely.
So I'm going to talk to you personally, Sibba, but I'm addressing this to everyone. Okay. If you're wanting to do this, just close your eyes first, sit up nice and tall. Cool. So for the next 2 minutes, just try and just focus on my voice. your mind wanders, no problem. But this is it. This is all about focus. So just bring it back to us. And what we're going to do is we'll do an inhale nose and then an exhale mouth for the first minute. Let me just do two. It will sound like this. Slow paced. Then I'm going to get you to hold. But then I'll guide you through it.
Okay.
So everyone sit up nice and tall. Sit up nice and tall. Big breath in through the belly. Nose breathing. Exhale mouth. I'll do it with you for 60 seconds. 3, 2, 1. Inhale. Exhale mouth like a sigh. Let's go. In with energy, out with the stress. In with good, out with the stress. In with peace, out with tension. Keep that up another 30 seconds. Bit deeper now for 15, deep in the... Eight, seven, six, five, four, three, two, and now we stop. Now we take an inhale. And now slowly release the breath, exhale. And hold. Hold, close the eyes, remain still. 30 seconds. Very good. Stay with it for 10. When I give you the cue, I'm going to get you to inhale through the nose for a count of 4, then exhale through the nose for a count of 4 to finish off. Let's bring it in. Inhale 1, slowly through the nose. 2, 3, 4. Exhale slowly. 1, 2, 3, 4. Inhale 1, 2, 3, 4. Exhale 1, 2, 3 and 4. Let's go 3 more. Inhale slowly. 2, 3 and 4. Let it go. 2, 3 and 4. Inhale 1, 2, 3 and 4. Out. 1, 2, 3 and 4. Our final one. Bring it in. 2, 3, 4. Exhale. 1, 2, 3 and 4. Take a big inhale. And just release the breath. Open your eyes, return to normal breathing. A Pavita 2-minute reset.
Wow. Excellent every time.
How's that one?
Fabulous. Wonderful.
Little reset, feel good?
Absolutely. Honestly, perfect every time. The 2 minutes, the 9 minutes, the 11, the 20 minutes, very, very good. I always come out feeling whatever I went in for, whether energized, whether relaxed, whether sleep. Yeah, it does what it says on the box.
I love it. Thanks for trying. That's great.
So tell me, I don't know. Tell me, did I do it wrong? Could I have done it, have been doing it better?
There's no right or wrong. That's the beauty of it. Like, yeah, there's, you could always do it better. You can always be more focused. And that's the beautiful thing about it. It's a never ending improvement. One session you might have more focus. Another session you might have more holding. So, yeah, just go in with that. What do they call it? The infinite game in mind. There's never going to be an end point, just a continuous evolvement. so to speak.
Wonderful.
So you did great.
Thank you so much. Thank you again, Josh. Mm-hmm. I really appreciate you taking the time to come on the show and appreciate your insights and your wisdom. And if to my listeners and viewers, if you've enjoyed today's episode and want to hear more of Josh's wisdom and guided meditations, listen to him on Pravida Wellness Experience on Spotify or visit his website for the Members Club and also one-on-one consultations. You will find both linked in the description. Thank you, Josh. I look forward to the next session.
Very good. Great to be on your show. Thanks, Sibba.
All right.
Thank you for listening.
Take care.
See you soon.